Their financial problems drove Flora and Allen to join the growing Scottish presence in North Carolina. She explained in a letter 2 years before that, "We lost almost our whole stock of cattle and horses. We lost within these 3 years 370 heads, so that we have hardly what will pay our creditors." In another letter, seeking help for older sons she planned to leave behind, she signed off with, "The prayers of an old distressed woman once known to the world." Flora and Allen's ship checked in at Brunswick Town near the mouth of the Cape Fear River in August 1774. A number of modern sources claim they continued to Wilmington, which is likely, but there is no evidence to prove this or much later claims of a ball held for her. No one knows for sure how they got to Cross Creek, now Fayetteville. They apparently lived there briefly. Someone who met Flora at the time later described her as not very tall, but a very handsome and a very dignified woman, with fair complexion, sparkling blue eyes, the finest teeth I ever saw, and hair nearly covered with a lace cap and slightly streaked with white. The MacDonalds then went to live with Flora's half-sister Annabella north of today's Fort Bragg for at least a year as they looked for land of their own. While there, they probably worshipped at Barbecue Presbyterian Church, a congregation that still exists. Scots had been coming to America in large numbers since the establishment of the Argyle colony around Cross Creek in 1739. By the time Allen and Flora arrived, the good land there was taken, so they and other late arrivals bought up plantations to the west. Around a dozen families ended up west of today's Pinehurst. Among the settlers was Flora's stepfather, Hugh. It's unclear whether her mother Marion immigrated with him, or perhaps had died before he left. Their daughter Anna and her husband were in the area as well. By spring 1775, Allen and Flora had bought two tracts along Cheeks Creek, which flows here under the bridge. These were 475 and 50 acres and already had a working plantation, which they renamed Kingsburg for their home in Scotland. In a letter, Allen refers to a grain mill and to buildings on both tracts, as well as to peach and apple orchards. Their home was on the larger tract, roughly 3/4 mile per side, which you are on now. Their hopes for a peaceful new life were dashed by bad timing. Rebellion was brewing in the colonies. In NC, Royal Governor Josiah Martin had fled the capital in New Bern under pressure from patriots. Allen wrote that he fought on the side of the British king at Culloden, as did Hugh and some other Highlander clans, which may be why he joined the Loyalist or Tory cause here. In July 1775, Allen went to Fort Johnston in modern Southport, in disguise, according to Flora, to meet with the royal governor. Allen was gone 2 weeks. When he returned, he set to recruiting others to help a British army take back the province. In the fall, the governor made plans to move to the new Kingsburg, even calling for colonial documents to be sent here while he was at Fort Johnston. An attack on the fort ended that plan, driving Martin onto a British gunship in the river. In early February 1776, Allen and two sons headed off to join a Tory force gathering in Cross Creek to march for the coast, as did most of the males in the area. Flora supposedly wrote a friend there, "Allen leaves tomorrow to join Donald MacDonald's standard at Cross Creek, and I shall be alone with me three bairns. Can you come and stay with me a while?" The word bairns means children, but Flora was a 54-year-old grandmother when she moved to North Carolina. Despite a later myth, she neither brought nor had young children here. So if the letter is genuine, she must have meant Anna's three children. Because of them, and having to run the plantation on her own, a story that she rode 140 miles round trip to address the Tory force before it left is highly unlikely. The MacDonald men joined the ill-fated march from Cross Creek that led to the Battle of Moore's Creek Bridge, an overwhelming Patriot or Whig victory that killed many Loyalists as well as the British invasion plans. Flora's husband and one son were imprisoned, first in Halifax. While they were being moved to Philadelphia, Allen's horse went lame in Petersburg, Virginia, and he apparently had to walk the rest of the way. Flora wrote years later about her time here, using the third person, "Being all this time in misery and sickness at home, being informed that her husband and friends were all killed or taken, she contracted a severe fever and was daily oppressed with straggling parties of plunderers from the Whig army and night robbers who more than once threatened her life, wanting a confession where her husband's money was. Her servants deserted her, and such as stayed grew so very insolent that they were of no service to her. The plunderers made off with all their horses and cattle, perhaps 10 and 50 each, and various items from the house, including books, furniture, and tableware. The servants were not slaves, but indentured servants, whose passage the MacDonalds had paid in exchange for a number of years of service, typically 4. After recovering, she wrote, she went to visit and comfort the other poor gentlewomen whose husbands were prisoners, despite their blaming her husband as being the author of their misery. But in one of these charitable visits, she fell from her horse and broke her right arm, which confined her for months. The only doctor normally in the area was imprisoned with Allen, by then in Philadelphia, within view of what now is called Independence Hall. McDonald said she remained in this deplorable condition for 2 years. She may have traveled some among various friends and family members, including one of the farms of Kenneth Black, where her daughter and son-in-law lived. Black was active in the Tory militia, and his murder in 1781 led to the raid on the House in the Horseshoe. In the summer of 1777, McDonald was called to appear before the Anson County Court in Mount Pleasant to swear an oath of allegiance required by the state legislature of all suspected Loyalists. Otherwise, they were subjected to losing their properties and having to leave the state. She appeared, but refused the oath, and the plantations were eventually confiscated. Continue to the audio clip under Rough Journeys.